Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to another edition of Socially Distant, of course brought to you by Funky Buddha Hard Seltzer, a premium hard seltzer made from cane sugar and agave for a crisp, clean taste and only 90 funky calories. My name's James Steele, and let's welcome 24K Golden to the Socially Distant podcast. What's up, man?
Yo.
Sorry, it's my first time using the internet.
I know y'all in Florida are a little behind. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. We'll catch up here in about 5 years or so. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. What about yourself, man?
I'm doing well. I thought this whole work at home thing would mean less work, but I think I'm working more now than I was before.
Right? Because now it's like, you don't got nothing else to do. Let's just give you a little bit more work.
Oh, yeah. Just piling it on. So let's see. Let's go back to the beginning. How's that sound?
Let's do it.
All right. So I read in an interview that one of the first musical instruments you ever played was a yellow bucket. Is that true?
Wait, can you hear me and see me?
Yeah, you're just kind of loading on the screen, but I can hear you.
All right, I'm frozen on mine. Let's keep going to see what happens. But yeah, that's true. I used to carry around this little like plastic yellow bucket and chopsticks. And everywhere we go, I'd always be able to like bang out the drums and get some rhythm out.
So after the yellow bucket, what was the next instrument you played?
I think the next instrument was probably the recorder in like third grade. You know, yeah. Every third grade class has a recorder. I was going crazy. I had hot cross buns on lock. And then I did like clarinet and then just singing from there.
Wow. So you're going through all the instruments.
Yeah. You know, just dabbling, dipping and dabbling.
Yeah. That's got to work out good for your music career to actually know, you know, multiple instruments when you're in the studio.
Yeah, because it's like if you gave me a recorder or a clarinet now, it would take me a little bit to figure it back out.
Yeah.
But I think it just kind of ingrained with me a sense of melody and a sense of rhythm that I kind of just subconsciously integrate into all my music now.
Now, when did you first realize that music was actually not just your passion, but when it comes to business and the rest of your life, from this day forward, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm sticking to.
I mean, I just remember like being in a sophomore year, junior year of high school, like a year or two after I started doing music and being like, if I'm just starting and I feel like I'm already better than a lot of artists that are more established than me, imagine where I'm going to be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if I keep doing it. And I just kept doing it and doing it. And the feedback was, you know, it was all positive momentum. There wasn't any like major setbacks. So I just kept going. And I remember the first time that I went to LA with Paperboy, my mentor, the guy that got me into music. I was a senior in high school, and it was right before college acceptance time. And when I was in LA, I found out that I didn't get to Stanford, which was my dream school at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I guess I'm doing this music shit all the way now. Like, you know, fuck everything else. Let's get this music shit going.
Did you have any odd jobs before you went full on music?
Yeah. So I've done commercial acting. I was a basketball coach.
Yeah.
You know, low-key hustler moves, just reselling Supreme and sneakers and stuff like that. A couple other jobs I don't know my mom would want me to talk about.
Now, take me through a typical day from waking up to going to bed.
So I wake up anytime between 11 and 2 p.m. now. My sleep schedule is destroyed. Yeah. Then I'll probably like shower, get some work done, check the emails. All last week I was working on my album. So last week it would have been 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. I'll go link up with Blake Slatkin and Omer Fetty, and we'll keep working on the album. come back, you know, do a little IG live cooking show, make some pasta or something.
Nice.
And yeah, keep pushing.
Now, do you have any specialty pasta dishes that you could recommend?
Yeah, so this is what you do. You go to Trader Joe's.
All right.
Pick out whatever noodles you like.
All right.
And you get the three cheese pomodoro sauce, but also the Alfredo sauce, and you do a little pink mix up.
All right, sounds delicious.
That's my go to.
So, how do you eventually connect with your record label now?
So I'm still 17. I put this song called "Ballin' Like Sharif" out about Shaquille O'Neal's son, and the producer DA got that dope. DA Doman, he ends up finding that off a DJ Booth article. And he's like, yo, this is really good. And we start talking. We meet in L.A. And he tells Barry Weiss, who, you know, used to be the head of RCA.
Yeah.
Now he's the head of songs or the head of records, which is the label signed to with Columbia. And he plays in Valentino. And Barry just freaks out, calls me 30 minutes later. I just got out of class.
Wow.
And he's like, I want to sign you. We need to get this done ASAP. I'm like, oh, shit, my life is about to change.
And it did, didn't it?
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
Do you think you've changed as a person at all?
Yes, but not at the core of who I am as a person. You know, I think a lot of people say fame changes you, and for a lot of people it does. You know, it makes them forget and lose who they are truly as humans and what their core values are. For me, I feel like I still have those core values. It's just like I kind of have to change the way that I maneuver and go about life. You know, like
yeah.
I can't just go out to a concert regularly anymore. You know, now I can't enjoy the concert because I have people coming up to me, which is, you know, I always love it because people are coming up to me from a place of love and appreciation.
Yeah.
But it's like, damn, sometimes I just want to listen to music or like go to Subway and get a sandwich.
Yeah, it's got to be tough to be alone, you know, because sometimes, yeah, like you said, you want to go out, maybe take a walk, you know, go to the mall or something. And it's got to be hard to always be recognized. I couldn't imagine when you want some privacy every once in a while.
Privacy is definitely the biggest sacrifice and the biggest change. But it's like, I knew what I was signing up for.
Now, do you remember where you were when Valentino hit 100 million freaking streams on Spotify?
Let's see. I was probably on tour with Landon Cuber. Had just gotten off a tour with Landon when it hit 100 million. But when I was on tour, that's when it really started blowing up, and like the momentum just kept going and going and going. It was crazy.
That's fantastic. Congrats, by the way. I mean, that's huge, and it's just growing even more and even faster, it seems like, right?
Yeah, I mean, Valentino is definitely, it did its thing. It's at like,
I just mean you as an artist.
Oh, as an artist, yeah. Like, yeah. I'm really happy and really thankful for all the growth I've been able to experience in 1 year. You know, I think it's just part staying humble, keep learning and working hard, and I'm just going to keep growing.
Now, you said you want to be the male face of hygiene. Do you have any tips for the other dudes out there watching and also myself, especially me, to keep my old ass looking young?
Moisturize your face.
All right.
And wash it. That's like, it's a small thing, you know, it's just about being consistent and taking care of yourself, showing yourself that little extra bit of love.
I don't want to gloss over the whole new album thing, too. You said you're working in studio right now, or are you doing it through, you know, social distancing?
You know, some FaceTiming stuff, like luckily I'm living with my producer right now, so we're able to kind of work a lot at the house and flesh out ideas and stuff like that. But yeah, it's been a really fun process, and I'm excited for y'all to hear El Dorado in the next couple of months.
What do you want? What do you want people to get from your music? What do you want them to hear? What's the story that you want them to receive?
You know, I want them to know that it's okay to feel different emotions. You know, like you don't always have to be happy. You don't always have to be sad. It's just about expressing what you truly feel and communicating with love. You know, like my music is not the type of music that's gonna make you feel like, this, like when I listen to Chief Keef, it's like, damn, I want to go fight somebody right now. Like, and I love Chief Keef, I love his music, but that's, you know, I want people to feel more love when they listen to my music.
Do you think the best songs come from happiness or heartbreak?
I think it just comes from strong emotion in general, you know, like just like how I said Chief Keef, you know, he was growing up in an aggressive environment. He had a lot of emotion and aggression to get out. And that's why I think people reacted and responded to those songs to it, because they're feeling that. You can get the same amount of emotion from heartbreak as you can from being fully and utterly in love with somebody.
Now, was there a time in your life, there's many people who look up to you now, you know, some that are in music as well, and it's their passion. But it's hard. Was there ever a time where you almost gave up? And if so, or got close to that, what inspired you to keep going?
To be honest with you, no.
That's awesome.
Once I started doing this, I just knew it was for me. You know, like the way that making music feels, nothing else feels like that. Like making an incredible song. So I was addicted as soon as I started doing it.
Is there anything more that you want to see from the music industry?
I want to see less ego. You know, I want to see people reaching out and showing love. You know, less competition, more collaboration. Like, there's enough bread and there's enough money in this industry for everybody to eat. There's no need to be greedy.
And what's the best advice you could give up and coming artists?
Self-awareness is the key. You know, a lot of people think that they want to be artists, but they don't know what comes with it. Like, if you really want to be an artist, it needs to be your everyday passion, your grind. You have to wake up hungry to be the biggest artist in the world, or whatever your goal is as an artist every day. If you're in it just for the chains and the jewelry and the girls and the money and the cars, you're not going to make it and you're not going to last.
Where do you see yourself when you're 60 years old?
Oh, when I'm 60 years old, I see myself like probably in Greece, you know, looking over the majestic ocean.
Yeah.
Around sunset time. I'm eating dinner with my family. You know, all my close friends and their families are there too. And we're just enjoying life and kind of looking back at all the crazy moments of the story that led up to that, and thinking of all the crazy moments that are going to come and lead up to and finish my story.
Now, I know you have a few more of these to do today, so I'm going to let you go. But anything you want to get out there when it comes to the new album, when it comes to possibly, I know touring is up in the air, but what's coming up for 2020 and the rest of the year for you?
So actually, I have a song coming out next Wednesday with Cash Page, an incredible singer. She just did something with Don Toliver and Travis Scott, that song Euphoria. So our song is coming out Wednesday the 29th. I can't wait for y'all to hear it.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Hey, 24K Golden, congratulations on all the success. It's only getting bigger. And, man, really nice talking to you.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Later, brother. Take care.